irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, June 24th, and Jen and I are back.
We are back.
After a couple of days that didn't quite work out, but
it's fine.
The hell? Yeah.
It happens.
I know.
Yeah.
We're not going to get punished or anything.
Yeah, that's true. So. Good thing.
So how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm a bit half in the bag today, but it's okay. Yeah. I had to get up at 3 to take my mom to the airport.
Yeah. Your mom was visiting.
She was visiting. It was a great visit. Short, but good. Yeah.
Yeah. When did she come into town?
She came in Saturday afternoon.
Oh, okay. So it's just about 5 days or so.
Yeah. Ish. Yeah.
Did she enjoy herself here?
She did.
Really?
She had a really good time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And she was here on the show with us on Monday.
She was. She loved it. She said that was one of the highlights of her trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad she came in then.
Yeah.
You know?
She says thanks for having her. She was very excited.
Yeah. We had a ventriloquist here on Monday, a famous one, Jay Johnson. And he brought his dummy with him.
Yeah.
And you kind of freaked out, huh? You don't like dummies. You said you were
kind of
scared.
I didn't freak out. I was just side-eyeing it a little bit, just in case.
No, it wasn't obvious, but just because you said it,
yeah.
I thought, I mean, I can understand. They kind of look weird. I mean,
They're creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of okay with Bob, though. I also
you felt safe with him.
I don't know if I would say safe, but I felt okay by the end, especially. In the beginning, I was more just looking them up and down a bunch. But, I brought this up on the show, too, is that R.L. Stine made the series Goosebumps. It was a book series, and then they made it a television series. And they have a book that they turned into an episode called Night of the Living Dummy. And I became obsessed with it because I was so terrified of it. And I remember reading it and it scared the shit out of me. And then I watched the series and it scared the shit out of me. So I don't know. I've just always had a thing with like marionettes that they just kind of creep me out.
Right.
Yeah.
What about the Muppets? Do they freak you out?
Not necessarily. There's certain ones that do.
Yeah.
Certain puppets do. Most of the Muppets I'm okay with, but I will say a lot of the characters on Sesame Street don't sit right with me. Like, I think Big Bird is terrifying.
Really?
Yeah, I think that is.
So that affected you early on in your life, and that's why you're probably feeling this way now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it still terrifying to you?
I mean, I'm not going to scream and run out of the room, but I'm definitely going to. I mean, if Big Bird walked in here, I would definitely feel a little bit of a pit in my stomach.
Huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's his eyes. His eyes just look like they come from planet Death. I hate them so much. He's terrifying. You know?
Yeah.
So it over the years, because of these like weird things that creep me out, I've had a lot of like weird dreams about it too, like really like trippy dreams. I've had a lot of like weird bird dreams, and they all have Big Bird's eyes and stuff like that. Really creeps me out.
I know the dummies have creepy eyes too, right?
They do, and the way the heads move.
Right, and Bob, it's like he's looking from the corner of his eyes all the time.
Yeah, he was a little better though. I think his outfit was less threatening.
Yeah, right.
Like he didn't. I hate when they have the little tuxedos on.
Yeah,
the tuxedos really creep me out, like the tiny little cummerbund.
Right.
I don't like that. So creepy.
If you guys missed out on that, go to my page on Facebook and you can see pictures of Bob and Bob, who's a dummy, and Jay, who runs him. And we had a couple of his friends here too, which was nice.
They were fantastic.
So it was a nice show. I mean, we had guests back in the studio after a long time, you know.
Yeah,
so
our first guest since
that.
COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that. And plus, you know, I mean, I was a big fan of theirs, you know, and Soap, like I told you. And you noticed everybody that was old enough to watch Soap
remembered it.
Right. And actually watched it.
I've talked to a couple other people and they were like, I remember that show. Yeah.
You know, and I've been watching clips of it like nonstop. I can't get enough of it with Chuck and Bob, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't even count to you all the funny parts they had, you know. But there's one part where Bob, the dummy, starts talking Spanish to another guy. And somebody goes to Chuck and goes, "How does he know Spanish?" He goes, "I don't know. I have no idea." And then obviously it's him talking, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And he says, "I don't know a word in Spanish." So I thought that was funny.
That
you know?
Is funny.
Or then another part where they cover the dummy's eyes. And he goes, "Look, I can guess what you're holding, right?" And people hold like... So a couple of family members, one is holding an ashtray and one is holding an apple, and he guesses it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, "Man, you got something big here, you know?" Oh, man. They tell the puppet, they say, you can see through the blindfold. He says, "No, I can't see."
That's funny.
So they become like a person, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny.
It really, Bob really did kind of feel almost like a separate entity from Jay.
Right.
When he was here, it was interesting. Jay was actually telling my mom when they were talking after the show that when he travels with Bob or Chuck or whoever he's traveling with, he packs the body separate from the head. So imagine anyone who's like checking luggage at the airport just finds like a dummy head. How creepy would that be? That would have been my absolute nightmare to just be working at the airport and find that. Shit my pants.
I'd be like, no.
I think about that the rest of my life.
Yeah, but it's a great talent, you know. I mean, think of a dude. Does he talk? He can be these and these, which requires you little tricks and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you use your tongue against your teeth, right? To
and they'll
sounds.
Say, like they'll say a D instead of a B or something, and it sounds like it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another thing is the ability to speak for two people, and fast. And back and forth.
As quick, the back and forth, I think, is what's really, really amazing.
Between them.
Yeah.
And you go, how the hell is he keeping track of the voices?
Right.
You know,
lots of practice.
What they have to say. He's very fast. You know, you have to be very fast.
It was a great energy in the room, though. It was a lot of fun. It was they were great guests to break the seal, the COVID seal.
Right.
Yeah. It was good.
I know.
My mom was like, "What are we all going to talk about for an hour?" Yeah. People always ask me that. They're like, "Well, what are we going to talk about?" You had asked my roommate to come on the show, and he's like, "Well, I don't know what we're going to talk about." And I'm like, "Just don't worry about it." And he's like, "I need a script. Like, what are you going to do?" Yeah, people really.
Yeah, I mean, you're the guest. You don't need a script. Just come in and sit down. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I say.
I'm like, Sam and I will do all the talking, and then you just respond, you know?
Yeah, well, you still have to bring him in one day, you know?
For sure.
He's
a
fun guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
But it's good that you guys get along, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't always happen.
When he was in college, he had a radio show, and he would have to fully script out the whole thing. He would completely script it and just read the whole thing. He couldn't go under.
Memories, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, just don't worry. Just come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. People get really shy about that kind of thing. I'm such a wing it kind of person.
I know. You know? People get nervous, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, "No, I don't want to be on the radio." I'm like, why? You know?
Yeah. Even when I started at this show, I was like, should I come prepared with anything? Because like when I worked at the hip hop station in Brooklyn, it was a lot of free flow, but there would be certain things we would bring up that I would have to research and know about and stuff like that. So I would have to come prepared in some way or another. And when I started here, I was kind of like, wait, are you sure I can't? You don't need me to like look up anything? You're like, no, just show up.
Yeah, no program directors here.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody tells you what the hell to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's nice. And it's been, the weather's been nice, huh?
I mean, really
it's
nice.
Kind of hot, but, you know, I mean, I talk to people, like my friends moved to Texas, they're saying, yeah, it's humid and hot. And but they don't care, you know, they lived there before.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I can, you know. I mean, both places that I would consider, Texas and Florida, are both the same.
Yeah.
As far as the heat and the humidity, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell, you know, where am I going to go, you know?
It feels like if you've ever been inside someone's house when everyone's getting ready to go somewhere in the middle of summer, they don't have air conditioning and everyone's been showering all day.
Right.
And the whole house, just the air feel, and no windows are open. And the house just feels still, and there's that humidity from the shower. That's what it feels like everywhere outside.
But people say, I mean, you're in, and there's air conditioning everywhere, so what's the big deal, right?
Yeah, totally. But if you want to go outside, it's absolutely just
right.
You know, you'll if it was humid here, I'd sweat. I mean, my car is parked right down there on the street.
Right.
I would have been covered in sweat. I'd be wiping sweat off my brow.
Wow.
Walking in the building, for sure. Yeah, no thanks.
I don't know how I'm going to deal with that.
Yeah.
I know, I remember once when I was in Israel, like some 25 years ago, and I was fixed up with a girl, a blind date. Mm,
that's so always fun.
So I took my dad's car because I didn't have a car at the time. I was visiting, and he didn't have air conditioning in there. And it was summer heat. You know, in the evening and stuff, but still, it was very humid and hot. I got to her house. I was, like, drenched. I'm telling you, my face was, like, wet.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, you know? I mean, just give me a towel or something. Yeah. Let me wash my face, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and you dress nice because...
You can't dress, you know, nice.
Yeah, but I'm from America, so I dress nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's how it is in New York. I mean, people are walking around in their suits they have to go to work with, and
right.
Everyone's got huge pit stains, and everyone has backpacks in New York. Everyone either has a crossbody messenger bag or a backpack. I would say backpacks more than anything. The businessmen in full suits with a backpack.
Wow.
And everyone has that big circle sweat stain on their back, and everyone's like shirts are pushed up and everything's wrinkled. And I mean, by the time you get to work, it looks like you're finishing your work day.
Yeah.
You know,
it's miserable.
Yeah.
But I guess if you live in Florida, you probably don't dress as heavily, you know?
Yeah. I remember my sister lived in Florida for a while. And I remember her telling me she had to go to like court for a parking ticket or something, some type of parking violation. And all the lawyers were wearing flip flops.
Really?
Yeah. Like, so relaxed.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
wow.
They don't care as much. It's more free flow in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, kind of anything goes.
Yeah. Florida is up on the news this morning. Did you hear the news?
No.
A building collapsed there at Surfside, which is near Miami.
Oh, no.
The building collapsed during the night while people were sleeping.
In it?
In it.
No.
I mean, it was like a condo type of building. So one dead and about 51 people unaccounted for. Can you imagine
51
like,
people unaccounted for? Oh,
right.
My God.
Can you imagine like being buried in the rubble and everything and screaming help, help, and nobody can hear you?
No.
They don't know where you are.
How long after did people call for it?
Well, it was pretty much right away, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow, look at this.
People said they felt like an earthquake in the next buildings.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's like totally collapsed, man. And it's so scary.
Oh yeah, all the stuff falling on top of you as well as like the structure.
Right, you know, that's like a nightmare, you know, everybody's nightmare to be in a tall building.
It looks like a nice building too.
Right, yeah, it is. I mean, they're saying that condos were selling there for $600,000 to $700,000, two bedroom.
Oh wow!
So yeah,
it was near Miami.
Probably, yeah, Surfside. So I guess it must be like probably close to the water or something if it costs that much.
Oh wow!
You know,
I wonder what it's due to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're saying it was built in 1981.
It's not that long ago.
I know,
for a building.
See, it is on the beach, so.
Probably moisture and
who knows what happened.
Erosion or geez.
But yeah, here you'd pay twice as much for a condo on the beach. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, $600,000.
Yeah.
For $600,000, you can maybe get like an apartment.
Yeah.
Or like a small
condo here. A condo, but
not at the beach.
Not at the beach.
No way.
Close.
I was in Pacific Palisades yesterday. There's an area of the beach. Do you know the spot called Gladstones?
Yes.
I love that spot. Right. I hadn't ever actually been there, but I go to the beach right there because it's always really empty. No one's ever really there.
Right.
And then right next to it, there's like a really rocky bit and you can just sit. And
yeah, that's where I go sit on my rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Every once in a while.
I love it there.
Yeah.
There's always like cute surfers.
Oh, really?
Surfing around, yeah.
I don't notice that.
Yeah.
I'm too busy smoking my joint on the rocks.
But my mom was like, let's grab a drink. So we got a couple drinks, amazing pina coladas. And then we just sat on the beach and I literally took a 2-hour nap on the beach.
Really?
Yeah, I passed right out.
Wow.
It was great. I highly recommend.
You didn't get burned or anything?
No.
You got a little bit of color, I noticed. But
do I?
Yeah, on your
great.
Face.
Yeah.
But you didn't get burned, though.
No,
that's
I guess
pretty
not.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 hours in the sun, my God.
It was later in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was nice. It was nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the beaches is one thing that we have to our advantage here, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Definitely. I was reading an article that rated beaches, and they're saying some of the best ones are in California.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe they are, but not in LA, you know.
Probably not in LA.
Are not that great.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah.
I think Pacific Palisades is really great. When I went to Venice, that was kind of meh. But
yeah,
but
you go south and I think it's nicer.
Yeah.
Know? And north also. It's just that here they're too crowded, the beaches, and you know, and
yeah.
They're not as like natural, you know?
Yeah. But I was looking at those beautiful condos that they have.
Right.
And it was just like why?
I know.
I should live here. This is great.
Yeah. Well, it's never too late to find a rich man.
I know. Yeah. I know. I was joking with my mom and I was like, so who in here is going to be my sugar daddy and who in here is going to be your sugar daddy?
Yeah, those are expensive places out there. My God.
Yeah, very.
Makes you wonder how people can make so much money, you know?
So many
I don't
ways.
Understand what it takes, man. You know, I mean, I know it takes a lot of, you need to focus, you need to really focus on money a lot. You
or
know?
Be a scam artist.
Yeah, that too, but that's not what I want to do.
Me either. Me
you know,
either.
But to do it the right way, yeah, I don't know if any part of it is luck or whatever, but I think
there's
to make
a lot
that
of
kind of money, there's, yeah.
A lot of different factors you
right.
could... you know, come from money, or you could have had like a trust fund, or somebody could have set you up with something, or you had a great business idea that came to fruition and really
right.
went over well.
I think you also have to be willing to sacrifice a lot, you know.
Yeah.
I know that I have an uncle in New York, and he's a locksmith. And in New York, locksmiths do very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because every door has like 10 fucking locks on it or something. And people are afraid. So several people from the family went to New York at different times, worked for him, learned the business, started their own. Mm-hmm. And they're all rich right now. I could have done the same thing when I came to America, but I preferred Las Vegas instead where I had other relatives.
Yeah.
Right? And look at me, you know, I'm fucking... not even close to what they have. And I'm going, I probably would never have been able to be a locksmith, but who knows, you know? I mean, you sacrifice. At that point, maybe at 16, I wasn't willing to sacrifice. I didn't want to live in New York. It was too big for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw the apartment he lived in when I was in Manhattan, when I first there.
Yeah,
before he really
point.
Succeeded that much,
yeah.
you know? Because he also went, like, after the army in Israel and learned it from his uncle.
Mm.
So it's like an ongoing thing. You
sure.
know? Many people learned it from them. And I saw his shitty apartment in New York. I said, I could never live here. So, yeah. But it could have been the other way, you know?
Could have been the other way.
And another thing that I noticed is a lot of the Israelis here and in Israel make a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
And many of them are in construction or in home improvement.
Sure.
Where you sell a lot of bullshit to people, you know. So that's not, you know, I mean, I could never do that. But
yeah.
But so that's another reason why, you know, you have to sacrifice.
Yeah, you make
that's
it how you
I'm
make
saying.
It.
You may have to compromise your values sometimes, you know, if you want to make money. And I'm not like that. So
it's similar in film.
Yeah, but I'm thinking though that I'm wondering like why are so many of them really rich, you know? And I'm thinking, I bet you a lot of it has to do with going to the army, you know, because in Israel too they say that because everybody goes to the army, and when you come out, many, you know, that's why Israel has like so many startups and stuff because people learn skills in the army, you know. It's not everybody is like a fighting soldier, you know.
Sure.
Many of them can be in intelligence or in technology or whatever. And they learn specific things. So then they come out, they're qualified, they can open their own high-tech businesses and shit like
sure.
that, you know.
Do they place people in certain positions in the army there based on previous, like, interests or knowledge, or they just kind of put you anywhere and then they teach you from the ground up?
Right. I'm unclear on that, you know, because I haven't been there so long. But I know that you can request, but you don't always get what you want.
Sure,
you know, but you can request it, and I guess and look, they can't expect a lot of skills. You go when you're 18.
Yeah,
you know, that's young.
It's young.
You don't have any skills at all. So, yeah, based on that, I guess they decide. Maybe if you're a good student and stuff, maybe you get, you know, more better positions and things like that, you know. But the bottom line is everybody goes, and I think it makes you a stronger, more resilient person.
Sure.
Makes you a more ambitious person, makes you more
thankful.
Yeah, tolerant, whatever, you know. I mean, think about it. When you go to the army and the way they train you and shit is like, you know, you feel like a nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's so... The reason I didn't go is because my parents sent me here when I was 16. Mm. So it was still 2 years out, you know?
Sure.
So I never really went back, and I kind of think I missed out on that, you know?
Mm.
Maybe I would have. So I don't know. You know, there's different circumstances under which I could have been rich, but I didn't take any of them. And I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah.
When I mean, they say... Don't look at what other people have, you know, be happy with what you have and,
sure.
and shit like that, you know, which is true. It makes sense. Not everybody here is on the same journey, you know.
It's true.
Not everybody's here to make a lot of money.
Not everyone's coming from the same place or going to the same place.
Right.
Yeah.
But we live in a rich town and there's a lot of rich people here from entertainment and all that stuff.
All sorts of things.
Right. All sorts of things, you know, and... so it's difficult to see all that wealth around you and you're like, I'm fucking struggling, you know?
Yeah. I actually, met an Israeli man a couple months ago when I was working on a music video. And we were shooting, at his home. I guess it would be called the Hollywood Hills. I still don't know all the neighborhoods perfectly, but literally out on his front yard is the Hollywood sign pretty much. And he had like one of those like infinity pools overlooking the whole thing. It was beautiful. And, he actually gave me his business card and told me to be in touch with him. He was really nice. His whole family was really nice. You know, we were talking about what he does and he has what is it called? It's like an apparel store. He sells like clothing and he also sells PPE.
Okay. What's that?
PPE is like protective equipment, like masks and shields and sanitizers and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, there's gotta be something else, you know?
Yeah.
So he was a really interesting, really nice guy. So I'll probably be in touch with him for sure.
Yeah.
But...
Find out a secret.
Yeah, find out a secret. What's your secret? I need to know. So,
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm all about doing the odd jobs and things like that while I work my way up in film, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you're still young, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have plenty of time.
Yeah. Time passes quickly, though.
It does, man. It does. But what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, so we were talking about money after talking about the condos in Miami. But our hearts go out to all these people. I can't imagine being in something like that, you know. It's like an earthquake, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me about earthquakes here is that you get caught in a I forgot what I wanted to say. Oh, you get caught in that destruction, in that debris, and you know, and all that, and people may never find you. You know.
Ugh.
I know.
I don't like that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know. I mean, if you die, it's one thing, but to go through all the. Oh man.
Yeah. Imagine being like pinned under something and you're still alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I know.
I live in a huge building, and I think about that sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's. I mean, we have 18 floors.
Yeah, yeah. You see, it's a lot. The thing. Scary. I remember once when we were with the station, we were downtown on the 36th floor, and it started shaking.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, my God, man. They stopped. They disabled the elevators and all that stuff, you know.
Get me out of here.
Right.
Ugh.
So that's why I don't like those high-rise buildings.
Yeah.
This woman went to Grand Canyon, went hiking in 115 degrees, and she died.
Sounds you know? About right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, who fucking goes hiking in that heat?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't even stand outside for 2 seconds. You know, and they go hiking in the Grand Canyon, which is not easy hikes.
Did it say where she's from?
It did, but I closed the page, so I don't know where she's from.
I will say, when I went to Israel, I had come from New York summer, and so it was sweltering, sweaty. And so when I got to Israel, it was all dry.
Oh, really?
And it was, yeah, it was very dry.
Pretty, like I told you, it's pretty moist there too, you know?
Yeah,
pretty...
we had a really, really dry trip, but it was a heat wave. So it was 115 most of the time.
Wow.
And to me, it felt like nothing because I was used to dying in New York out of the sun because I kept trying to sit in the sun the whole time. I was like, this feels so nice. They're like, it's 115 degrees. What are you doing? I'm like, it feels like nothing. It feels like 70 in New York, you know? Really.
Yeah. And people complain about the humidity there. So I guess it's all relative, you know?
Yeah. It might have been a particularly dry week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that hot? I mean, I can't imagine. I know when you go to the Dead Sea, it's that hot because it's the lowest point on Earth. Really.
We had to skip it because of the heat wave.
Really?
Yeah, because they said the salt in it would end up scratching you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It has caused like abrasions on people when it's too hot. Yeah.
Really?
I know.
Yeah.
That was
very cool, though. You know, you
it's
go
the
there.
One thing I wanted to see.
Right.
That and Masada. We had to skip Masada, too.
Yeah. You see, with Masada, they have a cable car to get up there. But, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have it.
Yeah.
So we climbed the whole thing on foot, if you can imagine. It's pretty high.
Yeah, pretty hot up there, too, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some zealot Jews built it, like, during the Roman times, so the Romans couldn't get to them.
Yeah.
But they still got to them and killed. So the story behind it is that they all killed themselves to not fall and be captured by the Romans.
Mm.
So that's the story of Masada, you know, like a mass suicide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But there's a lot of remains there, you know, which is very interesting.
Like human remains?
No. no.
Just taking the cable car up and you see a bunch of bones.
Yeah, right. And they would keep them there, right?
Yeah.
No. It's actually houses and, you know, things like that. You
yeah,
know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would like to go back one day, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's nice there. I mean, to travel to Israel, there's so much to see. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we did a tour of the whole thing.
Did you?
Yeah, it was really great. Yeah. The problem was, like, it's a 10-day free trip, which is great, but they pack your schedule.
Yeah.
And they had us like sit and listen and to people talking. And I think that like the discussions were really great, but I would have loved to have more time in the markets and in the actual areas. Cause anytime we would spend hours listening to somebody talk, but then we would go to like the market in Jerusalem and they're like, you have 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like 45 minutes. I'm like, I can't even look how much stuff is here. I can't get through this in 45 minutes.
And what were they talking about?
So it was a music trip because we were all doing music at the time. And so the one of the people that we saw was this band that had these like metal drums that they used, and we would sit and listen to them play and then listen to them discuss like, you know, how their music. And
so they wanted you to have a more educational trip.
It was an educational trip. Yeah. And then we would listen. We went and we met with someone, a very Hasidic Jew, who discussed, you know, his beliefs of you know, the hierarchy in the family, which it was a very liberal group I was with. So there was definitely a lot of arguments during that, which was really fun to watch. Yeah. And then we listened to this other guy whose name I forget and just talk about the politics of Israel, which was great. It was educational, but I wasn't really in a headspace to be listening to. I would probably absorb it more now, but at the time I was.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, you go on a trip, you go on vacation, you want to enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
But for them, it's like there's an objective here. You know, we want to get you to move here.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we had really lovely meals and we went to Bedouin tents and Yeah,
that's fun. Did you ride a camel too?
I did ride a camel. Yeah,
isn't that the weirdest thing?
So weird. Their mouths are so silly.
I know.
They have these wacky teeth. They look like they
need
braces.
The way they stand up and stuff after they're sitting.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like it can. Yeah. You can fly off the thing.
It's
the
a little scary. They're so tall.
Yeah.
You don't realize how tall they are.
I know. They're fast too. You know.
Very. Yeah. And my mom had lived in Israel for a year. When she was finishing nursing school, and so she always told me to be careful because they're spitters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They do. They'll spit on you. It's like before you know, you just get hit with this thing.
Yeah. Maybe because they regurgitate their food and stuff, you know.
Ew.
Maybe that's why that happens.
Ew.
Yeah. Nasty. Did you know they do that?
No.
Yeah, so they can survive in the desert for a long time, you know.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
What are you
it's impressive, do? You know? It's like crazy. Like, how did camels just exist?
I don't know.
Animals blow my mind. I just, like, look at them and I'm like, how do you look like that? You know? Like, how does a camel look like that? You know? Like, it's crazy to me. Sometimes I look at my cats and I'm like, how are you alive? Like, you look like a toy. Like,
right.
It's insane. I can't wrap my brain around it.
I saw a meme yesterday. I can't quote it word by word, but it was to the effect of dogs were like bred like, you know, thousands of years ago, and we domesticated them, whatever, and cats just kind of were late a few minutes back to the UFO, you know.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. I also saw a meme that said, like, we domesticated dogs, but cats domesticated us.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, it is true. Cats, they just started showing up and like, hey, you got food? You're going to give us food? We're like, yeah, we'll give you food.
Yeah, we'll give you anything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Just love us back.
Yeah.
I don't get it, man.
I also saw another meme that was funny. What did it say? It was something like, dogs think that we pet them and love them and feed them and clean up after them, we must be God. And then cats think you know, you look after me, you feed me, you pet me, you love me, I must be God.
Right. I'm the master here.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds accurate.
Yeah. I know. Well, even when you pick up the dog shit, they probably feel I'm the master here, you know?
Yeah.
And he's working for me.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I really do. I mean, who is the master when you pick up the dog shit? You
That's
know?
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I love dogs, but all cats are cute, you know. Cats are cute. Dogs are just fun. And,
yeah, dogs are very, like, pick-me energy. They're like, love me. Oh, my God, love me. Love. Keep touch me, touch me. Love me, love me, love me, love me, love me. And cats are kind of like, let me just assess the situation for a few minutes here.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll purr for you, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Don't expect too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, though. They're independent. You know? They come in for a cuddle when they're ready. And then that's it.
I know.
You know?
Do yours... Oh, I asked you this. Do they wake you up early in the morning? You said no, right?
Not anymore.
Right.
When they wake you up, that means they've trained you.
Yeah.
Because if they wake you up and you respond to it, then they know that they can get a response out of you, so they'll keep doing it. So you just have to ignore them.
Yeah.
I'm like, leave me alone.
Huh. It's probably too late for my brother, for my son now to do that, but...
No, he can retrain.
Yeah?
Yeah, cats are really smart. They're very smart. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, maybe I'll tell him. Maybe he doesn't care. I don't know.
Unless he gets one of those electronic feeders.
Yeah.
Where you set a certain time to it, and then it opens the little thing when it's time.
Right.
Yeah.
With dogs, it's worse because you have to go outside and walk them.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not just feeding them, but no. They're like, I need to shit, man.
Yeah, totally. Cats just take care of it, and then it's, you know, you just scoop it, and it's fine. You don't have to put your hand in the bag and then touch it, the texture and the warmth.
Yeah.
I hated that. I hated that in New York. I would dog sit for my friend, and in the middle of the winter, it would just be steaming on the sidewalk.
I know. Damn.
Gross. Man. The things we do.
I know.
Pets.
Yeah. In other news, this was discussed before. I don't know why it's back in the news, but because maybe there's a new study made. But apparently, I remember talking about this. Remember that Subway sandwiches, the tuna doesn't have tuna in it?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I guess...
and their bread has yoga mat in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yoga mat?
Yeah, they found some of the same components as yoga mats.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So they're having a class action suit against them, and then this lab performed like a DNA test and found no traces of tuna there at all.
Yeah, they said the it was unknown material.
Right.
Yeah, they have no idea what kind of animal it is, unidentified.
Oh, you think there's an animal there?
Well, they said it was an unidentifiable.
Because it could be just vegetarian stuff, you know?
But they would have been able to identify that because they've been testing vegetarian stuff in labs too.
Right.
But they said it was unidentifiable.
Yeah, unidentified. We cannot identify the species.
Yeah. How scary is that?
Wow. So they guess Subway from three different locations in Los Angeles, California.
Mm. That's scary.
And Subway, of course, and they're saying... There's no tuna.
Well, that's not really.
No, I don't think so. No. They're saying they serve 100%
caught tuna.
Yeah. Mixed with mayonnaise sandwiches.
And rapidly it's factories now.
Yeah.
You know?
You think they might change?
I feel we should be getting to food places thing of the past.
Yeah.
You know? I really think
that's always bigger than McDonald's around the world.
That's why
in the world.
I stayed at this nice resort, vegetarian, vegan. And so I always usually, but I got to the point I was like, I need another protein. I just need something to the airport to come. And they had to eat that and I'm sick.
Yeah. It doesn't look very true either.
No.
When you look at it.
No. My roommate loves it. That's why. Yeah, they have yoga mat.
You know, the thing is, eat there, but some tuna sandwich, you know, like all the other meat, but I don't, sandwiches. No, again, you know,
is such just far gone. Like, have you ever chicken nuggets like into a mold and then cooks like now?
God.
It's an actual pink goo.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
It is.
You know, all the stuff is so processed.
I know.
Delicious, but processed.
Right. I don't need that stuff any like craving. So yeah. I'll have an Arby's or something. You know, that's real meat. You know.
Yeah.
But forget about it. I mean, you know, stuff is so. Full of fat and cholesterol and all that shit.
Chipotle's food.
Yeah. I don't quite like the taste of Chipotle, so I don't eat there. But
it used to be. Huh? In the past few years, it's really suffered. Mm. Popular, and now it's just like rapid turnaround.
Right.
They don't season the food game. Used to be great.
Right.
Anyone who's a Chipotle eater can go. It was so much better. Really.
Well, I think I only ate there once when my kids wanted it. I went there, but that was all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't had fast food in a long time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I won't lie. I do miss it sometimes, you know. I mean, it does taste good.
It's good.
Some people
convenient.
Live only on fast food. I don't know how they can do that, you know.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, look, people grow up in homes where fast food's quick and easy. The parent is in a rush, and so they just either make dinner. They don't teach their kids how to cook. I mean, that's something that I really loved, was my mom would let me like oversee her in the kitchen, and she would let me help sometimes. My brother's also a chef for a long time, so I grew up learning how to cook, and I also love to cook. But I don't think, and they also don't teach it in school anymore. You know, like my mom's generation, they taught it in school. Even my brother and sister's generation, they taught it in school. But by the time, you know, it wasn't mandatory. Like there was cooking classes, but they taught you like how to make scrambled eggs and how to bake a cake.
Right.
You know, like how helpful is baking a cake on a daily basis? You know, like you need to learn how to like use your leftover veggies to make soup and be resourceful. Because, I mean, the truth is, like, we buy veggies and then we get busy through our work week and we end up getting food out on the go. And then the veggies or whatever goes bad in the fridge, right, and you don't get a chance to use it. Like, we need to teach people how to make foods that can use up your produce, use up, and also to eat produce and how to make it taste good.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. I consume most of my produce in salads and stuff, you know. But, yeah. I can't really cook. I'm not, you know, I never learned how to cook or anything.
Mm.
But I do eat at home. You know, I'll make salads. I can make rice, you know, eggs, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I'll buy some frozen stuff like, I don't know, meatballs or something or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's not 100%, but it's at least it feels like a home-cooked meal, you know.
Yeah.
You mentioned soup. I just buy canned soup, but it's still soup, you know. It's not like a hamburger.
Sure.
You know, so things like that, you know. Fish, I buy a frozen fish and then I'll heat it up or something, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that. Not breaded or fried.
Sure.
But just, you know, it's just a regular fish that's uncooked and then you put it in the oven and you cook it, you know.
Yeah, but so most people don't even know how to turn on an oven.
Right.
I mean, I worked for a woman who, she didn't even know how to turn on the oven.
Jeez.
I was like, can I just please teach you? It's really easy.
Right.
Like, you press start, you press bake, the numbers, and then start, and that's it.
Right.
You know? But
I know, and to heat things, you know, in the pot or something, you know, I mean, you can make corn, you can make vegetables, you know, whatever, you know? And make good meals without having to know how to cook, really, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some people don't even know how to, like, I mean, I always cook, if I do get a canned soup, I always cook it in a pot on the stove.
Right.
I don't really microwave anything.
Right, right, exactly.
So, I mean, most people wouldn't do that. Most people just throw it in the microwave.
Right, exactly. That's like, what I do, too. I put it in the pot and heat it, you know?
It tastes better,
Yeah, it
honestly.
Does, you know? I mean, in some things, yeah, like, if you get, like, frozen corn, how can you possibly put it in the microwave and expect it to come out good, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or other things like bread or whatever, you know?
We microwaved a lot when I was growing up. And then when I was probably about 13, my mom got rid of the microwave and we just never got another one.
Yeah.
So I only have a microwave in my apartment now because it's built in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't use
it. It is fast, you know, but not for... Not to cook a meal, you know.
No, not to cook a meal.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I know. I feel the same way.
Once every couple of years, if I have a microwave popcorn bag, I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's it.
Usually I'll just make it on the stove, though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I popcorn, I put in the microwave because it's faster. It's easier.
So fast. It's also a salt bomb.
Right.
Yeah.
I try not to eat a lot of popcorn, you know, maybe once a week or something, you know.
Yeah.
So I do watch what I eat, you know, and it's not 100%, but I figure the salads, the olive oil, all that make up for, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I go out, I eat healthy also, you know.
I mean, life isn't about being 100%.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You just have to be careful, you know, because, you know, I mean, fats, cholesterol.
Definitely.
Diabetes, whatever people get, you know.
Yeah, like I took my mom out to dinner last night and we had a really great salad, a couple really great salads that we both shared. And then we had a creme brulee for dessert.
Oh, nice.
You know, so it's like,
yeah,
you got to get your veggies in. And
was that at Gladstone?
No, that was at Perch.
Perch.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's you haven't been?
No, I haven't been to Perch.
Oh, you would love it.
Where is it?
It's downtown. It's like 4th and Hill. It's on the 18th floor or something. It's on a rooftop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, really, really great.
Okay.
You'd like it.
Yeah. It's just that the 18th floor, I don't know about that. After this building news.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, sounds interesting. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. I'll meet you down there. It's just a few blocks.
So you guys went
me.
All over the place. You were on the beach. You were downtown in the restaurant. Very nice.
Taking her everywhere.
Yeah.
We went to Silver Lake. We went to Beverly Hills. We went to Brentwood. We did everything.
Nice.
Yeah. She's like, so much driving here. I'm like.
Right.
Yeah.
Did really you take her to Venice too? Venice Beach? No.
No. She's like, I've seen it on TV. I'm like, it's pretty much the same. I'm like, but there's more homeless people there now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I was just in Venice like a month ago when my sister was here, and it was
it's a bust.
It wasn't what it was.
No.
That's
definitely
for sure.
Isn't, you know?
Yeah. I remember coming here 10 years ago, and I saw Venice Beach, and it was exactly like you see it on TV.
Yeah.
You know, the roller skaters and,
That's true.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. Well, finally, we just have a couple minutes. This is cool. In New Hampshire, in a bar and grill, a customer left them $16,000 tip.
Wow. Where is that?
After he spent $37 on a couple drinks. In New Hampshire, a place called Londonderry. And
how much was the tip?
$16,000. So the owner told everybody, don't get excited. We don't know if it's going to clear, if the bank is going to pay it, whatever, right?
I hope it's not a pooled house.
Well, it probably is, yeah. No, it is. That's because they were telling everybody, you know.
Yeah.
You know, not to get excited or anything. But I guess it did clear. And they probably divided it.
Wonder how many people were working.
How many can be there, you know?
You'd be surprised. When I worked at a pooled house, we'd have like 10 people. So like a guest would give me like an extra $100 tip. Mm-hmm. And it would be...
$10.
Which is nice. Like I don't want to sound ungrateful. It's totally appreciative. Any extra dollars appreciative. But I just know that bite of getting a good tip and then it gets split amongst the whole house.
Right. But here's still, if you had 10 people, it'd be $1,600. That's not bad. You know, it's not 16,000, but.
Yeah. I mean, 16,000 will change your life a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Is the operative word here.
Yeah.
16,000 doesn't last very long.
No. If you play your cards right. I mean, you could set yourself up some a nice little beginning of a retirement fund and do some investments and pay off debt.
I suppose you could, yeah. It's all relative, right?
Yeah, I mean, 16K would clear me up real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, well, but you're not getting it and neither am I, so what's the point, right?
Yeah. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, anyway. All right, Jen.
All right.
Today's Thursday, so everybody have a great weekend and see you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen only on LA Talk Radio.